listening to Lake Effect on 89.7 WUWM. I'm Joy Powers. Since the pandemic began, Milwaukee restaurants have found interesting ways to remain open and keep business going. Many of them have relied on an increase in takeout orders. And since this spring, there have been more restaurants offering outside dining. But in Wisconsin, the traditional time for outdoor dining is coming to a close. So where does that leave restaurants that have depended on it as a way to increase capacity? Tom Dakin has been reporting on these issues for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he joins me now to talk about how restaurants are preparing for their first winter during the pandemic. Tom, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect.
Thank you, Joy.
So, in general, I think people know that they probably haven't been going out to eat as much as they would have in normal times. But restaurants have had a difficult time all around the world because of this pandemic. How are they holding up here in Milwaukee?
Well, unfortunately, you can go to jsonline.com and look at the ever-lengthening list of restaurants that are permanently closing, largely as a result of the pandemic. The National Restaurant Association has estimated something like 30% of restaurants, or I think it might be 30% of independently owned restaurants, could close as a result of this. And that would truly be a loss of a lot of jobs and a lot of revenue that's otherwise pumped into the economy.
There is, of course, a lot that goes into restaurants. As you just said, there's all of the people in the kitchen. They're the people who manage it. There's also, of course, the servers. And right now, that part in particular, the people who are servers, they're having a difficult time because a lot of restaurants haven't opened in that way. So what have restaurants, specifically here in Milwaukee, done to kind of work around the conditions of the pandemic?
Well, they've gone outdoors, and that's been the big change. I mean, aside from obviously carry out and delivery, they've gone to outdoor seating, and sometimes that means if you're lucky enough to have patio space, you use that. It could mean you take a parking lot and convert that into patio space. Within the city of Milwaukee itself, like other communities, both in Wisconsin and elsewhere, there's a program that allows a restaurant to take street parking spaces in front of the restaurant and convert it into outdoor dining space throughout the spring, summer, and fall. And normally in Milwaukee, that program, which runs from March 15th through November 15th, the restaurant has to pay for the privilege of doing that because the city, of course, doesn't want to lose the parking revenue. Because of the pandemic, that payment has been suspended. In addition, the Common Council and Mayor Barrett passed legislation that in some cases allows restaurants to actually take street lanes and convert that into temporary outdoor dining space. Now, that's of course restricted to areas where we don't have heavy traffic, where the speed limit is below 30 miles per hour for safety reasons, but there are a couple of bars and restaurants that have done that. If you were to go down North Old World 3rd Street, for example, near Five Sur Forum, you would see a couple of restaurants and bars along that stretch of street between Juneau Avenue and State Street that have converted part of the traffic lane into outdoor dining space.
Well, and part of the appeal of outdoor dining is that you can more easily comply with the kinds of regulations that these restaurants have to follow right now. Can you explain what some of the rules and regulations are for restaurants that have limited their ability to operate?
Yeah, the biggest restriction is capacity. When the city of Milwaukee, for example, first allowed restaurants to begin reopening, I believe this goes back to about mid-June, it was at 25% capacity. And you think about a small restaurant that has, say, 50 seats, 25% capacity, that's not a lot of seats. You're talking about a dozen seats that you can get in there. Now, that since has been increased, and I believe we're now up to 50% capacity. That's still, again, a substantial reduction from what you would normally have. So by going outdoors, you can add more capacity. You add more capacity, you obviously can add more revenue, particularly on those busy periods on Fridays and Saturdays and weekends. That's what outdoor dining helps you accomplish. In addition, every survey I've seen on this topic since the pandemic has begun has come back and said people just generally feel safer dining outdoors for obvious reasons. We know how COVID-19 generally is spread. It's spread by close contact, and unfortunately, in some cases, it's spread when you're in poorly ventilated areas. Well, if you're outdoors, you've largely eliminated that ventilation problem. And a lot of people just do not want to dine indoors, even at those reduced capacities.
Yeah. But of course, we're coming up to a time in Wisconsin where it's not only less desirable to be outside, but, you know, it's less plausible, less possible.
You don't want to put on your winter parka and go out for a nice 4-course meal? What's wrong with you?
In those temperatures where you're like, I'm not sure if I can breathe safely outside.
True story about that. My wife and I and the rest and some of our other family members, we were in Door County. Let's see, this would be mid to late September. One of those lovely fall weekends where it was a little chilly. I mean, the seasonal highs every day were probably around 60 degrees. We didn't want to dine indoors. We went to Greenwood Supper Club, great little supper club, long-established supper club in Door County. And they had outdoor dining that they'd set up temporarily on their lawn. And, man, we got there not long after they opened on a Friday night for a fish fry. It was probably about 5:15 when we got there. And by the time we left at 6:30, we were still comfortable, but it was getting pretty chilly out there. That's going to be the challenge that a lot of these restaurants and taverns are going to face when we get into the cold weather months. But they're looking at some ways to deal with those challenges, too.
What are some of the ways that they're trying to work around the fact that you can't really be outside safely?
Well, here's how they're dealing with it or planning to deal with it. In some cases, they're using those portable heaters, which I think we've all become familiar with. A lot of restaurants had started using them, restaurants and taverns, during the chillier months in the fall and spring. So you've got that as a possibility. The other possibility is doing certain structural changes. The recent story I wrote about this topic, I talked to Mike Idle. Mike runs Nomad World Pub, which just finished its 20th year, I believe it is, on Brady Street. And Mike is talking about doing things like installing some wind walls and some kind of partial covers on his large outdoor patio. Not strictly putting it all indoors, but trying to provide some kind of windbreak or cover as the weather gets colder.
Do we know how that squares with regulations in general? Because now it seems like you're really effectively inside.
Well, I think that's the key. I think Mike and people like him are trying to do this in a way that it doesn't become a quote unquote indoor space. That they're still keeping it as an outdoor space because, frankly, that's again what patrons want. A lot of them don't want to be indoors while still trying to somehow cut down on the wind and cut down on, who knows, perhaps even the snow. Here's the other thing that might happen, and I say might because so far this is something that would require an act of the Common Council and the mayor, and I haven't seen that officially happen yet as a proposal. But that program I talked about earlier, the one that allows conversion of parking lanes and in some cases street lanes to outdoor dining, that typically expires on November 15th. That could be extended. Now, that would, again, require an act of the Common Council and the mayor to do that, but that's been suggested, I know, by some people, including Chris Socha, who's an architect here in town who works with restaurant tavern owners on these types of issues. So maybe, conceivably, we'll get a proposal for the Common Council to allow that to go into the winter. That is, in addition to requiring some of those heat lamps, perhaps some of those wind barriers, I think the bigger thing that's going to require is a real change in attitude as to how we, as Wisconsin residents, approach winter. And there are examples of cities where that has sort of been embraced and celebrated. I can tell by your reaction that you're a little bit skeptical about this whole notion, which is understandable. We know how cold it can get here, but there are ways of adapting to things. And human beings, if nothing else, are wonderfully adaptable.
Yeah. Now, to take a bit of a step back, you know, we've talked about the fact that restaurants have been closing during this time. And there are certain kinds of restaurants that have been having a lot more difficulty than others, and some eating establishments that have been doing relatively well during the pandemic. Can you unpack that a bit? What kinds of, you know, parts of the restaurant sector are doing the most poorly and which are doing the best?
I think your fine dining establishments may be finding it more difficult to pivot to carry out just by the nature of their product. For example, it's really no big deal to carry out burgers, pizza. I mean, even a fish fry, I think, is relatively portable. But if you start getting into things like filet mignon or a really well done fresh fish that requires a lot of presentation, that experience, you know, it gets diminished by carryout. I don't think there's any doubt about that. And that's why in some cases, I think some of these finer dining establishments have tried to adjust their menus accordingly to perhaps at least temporarily include some items that are more friendly to carryout. The other thing that's kind of interesting, and I just did a story about this, is food halls. Food halls like Milwaukee Public Market, Mequon Public Market, Crossroads Collective, which is over at on the east side at Farwell North Avenues. Food halls nationwide have generally been performing pretty well. Even as all these independent standalone restaurants are closing. And we actually have two food halls that are currently under development that are to open in Milwaukee in the spring of 2021. A very large one called Third Street Market Hall that'll be at the former Grand Avenue. The construction on that was delayed for a while, but it started up in August. And a small food hall called North Avenue Market that'll be on North Avenue near the Tosa-Milwaukee border, where a former bank branch is going to be converted into a small food hall. And part of what's going on there is the economics of food halls. A lot of them tend to have central kitchens. And if you are a restaurant operator, you can open at a food hall often for a lot less than you would do as a standalone restaurant. A lot of the investment is being done by the landlord of the food hall as opposed to you as the restaurant operator / tenant. And so that gives you an opportunity. It gives opportunities to startups, for one thing. It also gives an opportunity for established restaurants to open areas where they can experiment with different concepts, perhaps do pop-ups. As a matter of fact, Crossroads Collective had a pop-up Laotian restaurant open this summer called Thum, THUM. And it just re-upped for a 2-year lease. So it's going to be there beyond that initial temporary period.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how restaurants fare as we get into these colder months. But Tom Dakin, thank you so much for joining us here on Lake Effect and sharing your work.
Yeah, bon appetit.
Tom Dakin covers commercial real estate for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and he's a regular Lake Effect contributor.